Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, that we will never take it for granted, that the King of the universe would come and fellowship and commune with us. So we say thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We acknowledge your presence and we say this is your service. And we ask, Father, that you would speak to each of us, God, that you would come and reveal, Lord, what season we are in, God. I pray that you will come and bring clarity where there's confusion. I pray for peace and chaos, Lord. And I thank you, God, that as Dirkie shared about just the prophetic word Mallory shared, Father, I thank you for your spirit of prophecy that will be released this morning, God, to help us see the way you see, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I started sharing, it feels like I did it probably the wrong, feels like a little bit the wrong way around, but I don't think it was the wrong way around. I preached 2 weeks ago a message on praise and prayer. Remember that? The prayer of agreement and praise. And this is almost, I just felt that quite strongly that week, and I believe it was from the Lord. I tell you, who was in that service, or one of those services, okay? So that, for those who weren't here, there's a whole bunch of us that have been struggling for various reasons, sickness or whatever it is. And I felt God saying that there's a strategy in this battle, and the strategy is praising, sacrificial praise. When I don't feel like praising, I praise and God fights my battles. And then the second thing is the prayer of agreement, coming together and saying, hey, I'm struggling, can you pray with me? And I want to tell you, at that stage, Richard was in hospital, and he had been in hospital since the Wednesday, and this was the Sunday we did this. Amazing worship team, everybody jumped in and made it happen, but more importantly, in the spirit, up until then, every morning when the doctor would come into his room at about 11:30, 12 o'clock, she comes to see him, and I was there, and every morning she would go, I don't know, I don't think he's ready to go home. You could see, she can feel we want him home, but she's not really agreeing. After that Sunday, guys, the Saturday to the Sunday, the infection didn't really go down, so the Sunday morning, it was a little bit very disappointing, he's still not going home. On the Monday morning, she walked in and she didn't even ask how it's going, how was your night, nothing. She walked in and she says, today you're going home. And it was a change like this, from the Sunday to the Monday. And I believe it's in the spirit very often, and that's what we spoke about. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I want to encourage you, it wasn't a Sunday-only thing. It's a season thing. But very often, and that's what I want to speak about this morning, is that there are seasons. In the natural, there are seasons. So I'm going to speak, it's a little bit of a prophetic message, but I'm trusting that it's going to bring clarity to you. Because we in the church are in a season, but I'm in my personal life, I'm also in a season. And even within my personal life, at work, I can be in a specific season. In my marriage, I can be in a different season. In my health, I can be in a different season. Does that make sense? So there are different areas of our lives. And seasons, like in the natural, there's summer, winter, spring, I want to say harvest, fall. Fall, I'm going to get to harvest. But there are different seasons. And Ecclesiastes 3 says it beautifully. Verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. And then it goes into, Solomon goes into describing a time to mourn and a time to dance and a time for everything. But the bottom line is there are seasons. And whether I like winter or not, when it's winter, it is cold. And I can put on my shorts like when William this morning, I walked into church and I'm like, what happened? I promise he's got long pants. But I can walk into church and I can wear my shorts and even my costume and say, I want summer. But the fact is, if it's raining and if it's June, July, it's winter. So either I can step in the grace of the season and wear my puffy jacket and enjoy the kachel and Wimbledon or whatever you do in winter, or I can keep on fighting and saying, Lord, why is it not warmer? God, I want to have a beach holiday in June, July. But there's not grace for that, not because God is upset with you, but because it's not the season. Does that make sense? So sometimes, very often, in our spiritual world, in our lives, we have these seasons and we're struggling to make sense because God is in one season and I'm trying to either force another season or I'm thinking I'm in another season. Does that make sense? So there's grace for your season. So that's the first thing. No, there's a couple of things. But I wanna give you another example. There's my dad's a farmer, né? And anybody that does farming or knows about farming, if the farmer plants a seed today, it's plant time. There's no farmer that's going to go out tomorrow and look at the felt or the field and say, where's the harvest? Because he knows it needs time and it's not harvest time yet. So he's not getting all confused when there's no harvest yet because he realizes it takes a couple of months and harvest is only coming when harvest comes. And he cannot make it go faster. What he can do is when it's plant season, you plant. And when it's harvest season, you harvest. But there's an in-between where it needs to grow. And by the life of you, you cannot make that thing grow faster. Does that make sense? So in Jesus' life, I've got the scriptures up there. I went through the book of John. I think you can do it in any of the Gospels. I just picked John. But I went through the book of John this week, and I was amazed at how Jesus, he lived his life so purposefully, guys. It was so planned, and all the time he would say, I'm only doing what I hear and see the Father doing. So he was in sync with what the Father has called him to do, but he was very much aware that there was a timing. He was very much aware. So we're going to go through kind of the book of John. So I'm going to touch on and I'm going to tell stories. But I want to encourage you to at home go and look at how Jesus knew exactly his time, his season. And he didn't try and push things. He went according to the Father's timing for him. And he got everything done. He wasn't impatient. He didn't try and force something. But when the hour had come, he also didn't try and delay it. So John 2 verse 4 is the first one I'm going to look at. And you're going to see it up there. I'm going to tell you the story around what the verse is. It says there, my hour has not yet come. This is the first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding in Galilee, Cana, near Cana, where his mom came to him saying, they run out of wine. You all know the story. They run out of wine. Please, can you help them? And he told her, woman, my time has not yet come. So Jesus knew that there was a time for him to take his ministry public. William and I actually spoke about this the other day, and I said, I wonder if Jesus had been making wine at home privately. How did his mom know? I don't know. You know, how did his mom? I just wonder what happened in the first 30 years behind closed doors without a dad, without Joseph to provide. I mean, I don't know when Joseph passed away. I just wonder about these things, and I think, I wonder what it was like, you know? But here we see clearly Jesus being aware his time has not yet come. And then he anyway listened to his mom, and he made the wine. But the fact is, he knew his time had not yet come. John 5:25, Jesus is here speaking just after the man at the pool of Bethesda, he's healed him now, and now the Jews are asking a whole bunch of questions. And then Jesus goes and he claims to be the Son of God, upsetting everybody, and he's causing chaos. But part of when he speaks there, he says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So now Jesus is saying, okay, my hour has not yet come, but now it is time. It is time for me after 30 years to proclaim that I am the Son of God. So Jesus knew there was a time for not doing it, and there was a time for starting to do it. The next one is John 7, and here Jesus' brothers are now ridiculing him and saying, if you are the Son, but I get it. I mean, if my brother comes to me now and say he's the Son of God, I would also probably be like, yeah, you are. You know, let's talk about it. But here his brothers are ridiculing him, and they're saying, you're not, you know, if you are the Son of God, then you go to the Feast of Tabernacles and you go and show all the peoples your wonders. But Jesus said, it's not time yet to show my wonders. And his brothers are saying, but why not? You know, if you claim to be who you are, then surely you need to back it up, you know. But Jesus said there, my time has not yet come. Verse 6 there, it says, then Jesus said to them, this is now his brothers fighting with him, ne? Not his brothers in the church, his
blood brothers, ne? They're fighting. My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that it work, that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is saying, I'm not coming with you because my time is not yet to go. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. Jesus was aware. It's time to go. It's not time to go yet. The next one, John 12, this verse is where Jesus now enters Jerusalem on the colt, the donkey. So now we're in John 12, 12 chapters into the story of Jesus. Now Jesus is saying the hour has come. Jesus knows there's a time. And when it's not time, he's not going to push it. And he's not going to go to Jerusalem. In fact, he did go in the end and he stirred up quite a bit of feathers in Jerusalem, but he was acutely aware of the season and the timing his father had set out for him. Does that make sense? So here Jesus saying, the time has come, my hour has come, and then finally John 17, Jesus prays for himself. This is after the Last Supper. He first prays for the disciples, and then he prays for himself, and then he prays to his Father in heaven saying, Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son. So Jesus, if you look through the books, the Gospels, you're going to see that Jesus was very aware that there are seasons for certain things. And he never stepped out of the will of the Father. He tried to stay within. And I believe that's why he was so effective in the 3 years. Because he didn't try and rush things and he didn't try and lag behind. He stayed in the will of the Father. Does that make sense? So how do I know or recognize my season? I'm going to give you some examples. But the biggest thing is, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. Okay? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray again for people to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. For those that struggle to hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit, John 16 verse 13, says there, however, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, however, when he, who is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, and he's already come. Ne? He's here. He came at Pentecost. He's here. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and will tell you of things to come. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to help us. Now, what often happens is God uses circumstances to help us to become aware. He can use somebody else to speak to us. I remember God is speaking to me quite for a couple of months now. God's speaking to me about transition. It's a transition. It's transition, season of transition, of change. And it started last year already. And now you're kind of aware God is speaking, but when is this change coming? What is this change? Is it internal? Is it external? God, what is it? But it's kind of on my radar here. And we were in America, and the one night, I stay up quite late. I enjoy it. I don't do mornings that well, but nighttime I do quite nicely. So the one night I was up normal time, about 12 o'clock. I go to bed at about 12, 1 o'clock. And outside my window, I heard a little bird that sounded like this bird. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. And I think I woke you up. I woke him up and I said, listen to this bird. And he's like, what bird? I need to sleep. But this bird was chirping. I kid you not, that's probably my favorite thing when I do get up that early, or when I am up in the mornings, is hearing the birds that early. You weet wanneer hulle wakker word, chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi. I love it. And here at home, we can hear it so beautifully. But there was a bird at 12 o'clock at night, guys. It's supposed to be quiet. And this bird got it all wrong. I mean, he was chirping at 12 o'clock at night. And I'm like, what is up with this bird? And immediately, as I was fascinated with this bird that's chirping at 12 o'clock at night, I felt God saying, it's a season change. It's springtime. And I felt him saying, I determine the season. You don't wait until it's 5 o'clock in the morning and then it comes. When God speaks a word and says, now is a season change, it changes. Whether it's 12 o'clock at night or 2 o'clock in the morning, when God says, now it's a time for a change, it's a time for a change. And so God speaks through birds. God speaks through nature. And you see,
Oftentimes we get frustrated because I don't know what's going on. And God is trying to use various circumstances. He's trying to use various people. Prophetic words, so powerful, guys. I'm hoping you guys are writing down your prophetic words that you get, that people pray over you at small group. That's why we're in the body of Christ. And very often a prophetic word is not for now. A prophetic word is probably for the future. It is coming. It's God saying, I am preparing you for this or that, or a heads up of something that's coming. But unless we steward those words, we write them down, you record them, you do whatever you need to do, but you have them, and you don't just park them on a shelf, but you actually review them every now and again. Then we have to be good stewards of the word of God. Have you had some people that always receive the word of God? Huh? Have you seen those people that you're like, why do they always get called out? Or why do they always get prayed for? You know why? Because they steward the word of God well. Where there's good stewardship, God is saying, I can bless you with more. So what they are probably doing, they're stewarding the word of God. And God is saying, I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. My word is precious. And when God speaks a word to you, I want to encourage you to steward it well. Stewarding it well looks like recording it somewhere, whether it's a voice note or a journal or on a laptop or whatever you want to do. It looks like reviewing it, pulling it out from time to time and saying, God, I remember when you spoke this word. I haven't seen it yet, but God, I am bringing my... How can I partner with you to see this word come? Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, prophetic words that you might have received 5, 10 years ago that didn't make any sense, but as you regularly, maybe once a month or whatever you want to do, review your words, all of a sudden you would think, that word was actually for this season. And now it's all making sense. But a lot of us, God has actually spoken about our seasons now, but we don't know because we're not reviewing those words. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you to be a good steward. But I, you know, as in the natural, so in the spirit, vergelijk, what's that? Compare spiritual, natural seasons with spiritual seasons. But I believe there are various different seasons. But I'm going to give you some examples just because I want you to try and identify. Is something popping out? Is the Holy Spirit saying, are you actually in a form of a springtime or summertime or wintertime? Because when we know, we can steward and we can partner with God in our season. Does that make sense? So a winter season, for instance, is a season of rest and renewal. That's a season of slowing down. You want to run faster, and God is saying, no, no, no. This is the season where we had a... my friend here in front, Richard, we just before we went on sabbatical, he had there was a situation that came up that he was wondering, should he engage in this situation or shouldn't he engage? One of those. And I remember so strongly thinking, this is a battle. This situation is going to cause a little bit of a battle. And I remember saying to him, but we're going into a season of, we're going into a sabbatical. The season doesn't feel right. God is calling us to rest, but now 2 weeks before resting, there's this battle that comes up, and now he wants to engage, which is probably not wrong. It's good, but it's the wrong season. God is saying it's not the time for war, it's the time for rest. Do you get what I'm saying? And I can guarantee you, had he engaged there, it would have taken him probably a month of our 3-month sabbatical. He would have been consumed in his mind and in his prayer life with this thing. But you see, I think often God says you're in a season where it looks like winter. It's you're hidden. You feel hidden. And God is saying, I'm growing stuff there, but you wanting to force coming out of this season. And God is saying, no, no, no. Don't force the rest. I feel that there's somebody here, maybe a couple of people, you're physically exhausted. You are tired and you're struggling to sleep enough because you're just so busy. Your schedules are so busy. And I feel God is saying, if you sleep and you will embrace the winter season, you will run faster and be able to do and be more productive in the next season. But you see, like the Israelites, we can extend our season. Eh? We can go around the same mountain again and again and again and again. We can.
We can. If you're not going to learn, and that's what we're going to speak about now, how to steward, if you're not going to partner with God and say, God, how do I partner with you? What is it that you want to grow in me? How do I surrender for you to do everything in me that you want to do in this season? But also, God, how do I partner with you in this season? If I don't do that, if I go, then I'm just going to go around and around and around. And for some of us, we're stuck in a season. For anybody like that, you feel stuck. Ne? You feel, I'm not getting out of this thing. It's a constant, it's the same thing around and around. I want to encourage you, partner with God. Jesus, how can I partner with what you are doing in the season? Does that make sense? So winter season is a time where God is saying, slow down. You're going to feel hidden. Maybe you physically, maybe emotionally, you need rest. Some of you, you need to emotionally say no to all the social activities. You don't need to volunteer everywhere. You don't need to be everywhere. God is saying there's a season for rest because after winter, springtime is coming and summertime is coming. Springtime is a time of new beginnings. That's, you can imagine, that's renewal. That's planting seeds for future growth. That's a season of new things coming to life. But unless you've rested well in winter and you've done the work you need to do with the help of the Holy Spirit in winter, you're going to struggle in spring. And if in spring we're not planting and we're not taking risk, for some of you, you are in spring. You want to be in winter and you're saying, I want to rest. And God is saying, it's over. Rest will come again, but now you need to plant. Now you need to take risk. It's new beginnings. You have to take a risk. When you are in a spring season, you have to step out of the boat. And God is saying there are open doors. I feel for somebody here, you've got various open doors. Maybe it could be two, couple of open doors. I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, relationally or at work. And I feel God is saying, just make a choice. I'm behind all of them. It doesn't really matter which choice. So I don't know if that's anybody here that's struggling to make a choice. I feel God is saying that I'm behind all the doors. I want you to make the choice. You see, there's a place where sometimes God is saying, now you make the choice, my darling. My kids very often come to me with a whole bunch of things. If you are a parent, you would know. They come to you sometimes with everything. What do I do here? What do I do here? How do we... The fighting. Mom, this one took my Lego from that one. I'm like, surely you guys can sort out your own Lego fights. You know, I'm not going to get involved there. But with God, sometimes we want him to tell us everything. And God says, once you start maturing, I want you to make your own decision. Why? Because I love you and I trust you and I want to partner with you. Does that make sense? So that's springtime. Summer. Summer is building. It's growth. It's peak growth. It's productivity. It's busy. It's nurturing. It's maintaining. I feel for us as a church, the church life is in summertime. We are building. We are gearing up. We are maintaining relationships, but we are building a healing center, which we want to launch in September. We are. It's busy. It's summertime. Summertime, it's long days. Ne? The sun only goes down at 8 o'clock. You want to go to bed at 6 o'clock, and God is saying, no, no, no. Now is not the time. Now we push through. Now we push through. There will be a time of rest. And then the last one is fall. That's harvest time. That's when everything you've sown in spring and that you've cultivated in summer, now there's a harvest. And harvest is also hard work. You ask any farmer, harvest is hard work. It's long hours. But that's the time where you share the testimonies. Those are the times that you remember, oh my goodness, look at what God has done. I want to say to some of you who are in that season where life is good, it's happening, you're picking the fruits of your labors, the things you've sown, the seeds you've sown many years past, now it's coming to fruition. But God is saying, remember to share what I've done. Remember to give me glory. Don't get distracted in harvest time. Now is not a good time to say, I'm so busy, I cannot get to small group, I cannot get to church, I cannot get to Bible reading and quiet time. God is saying, remember when you are in that season, remember to keep your priorities straight. And remember, I feel specifically testimonies, remember to share, because it's so quick,
Ne? We're like the Israelites. As soon as it goes well in the promised land, we forget. We forget. So I want to encourage you, I wanted to do that, just to kind of jot some of your memories. And then there's obviously the other season is, for some of us, we're in transition. You're going from one season to another one. And that can be really tough. For somebody like me, I love change. I'm always excited about something new. I get bored. So that excites me. Richard, not so much. So for him, he likes routine. He likes doing, kind of eating the same things, doing the same things. And that's good. But when the change is coming, when God says it's a transition, it's a season of transition, you need to be ready to let go of comfort, of routine, but I've always done it like this. Does that make sense? I feel for some of us here, we're holding on, and God is saying, it's a season of transition. I want to give you the new thing. I want to lead you into the new season, but you've got to let go. If you're not going to let go, He cannot lead you into the new season. Does that make sense? And then how do you steward the season that you're in? And this I want to end with. Like I said, you can make your season longer, but you cannot make it shorter. The easiest way and the best way to do it is to surrender. To say, God, do what you want to do in me. God, I lay my own agendas aside. God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want to work inside of me? Very often, God is not so much worried about where you're going as who you are. Because He's saying, where I'm taking you, I want to bless you. But if your character cannot handle the anointing, the blessing that comes, it will crush you. So I want to encourage you, if God is pruning and He's cutting away and He's saying that impatience, that anger, whatever it is, let's talk about it. And you're like, I've done it a million times. I want to encourage you to push through and do the work. For some of you, you need to speak to somebody. Maybe you need to get a counselor. Maybe you need to come and see Richard. Maybe you need to actually share with people in your small group saying, I really struggle. I'm struggling with this. I know I should be. That's also the stupidest thing. I should be past this. I should be. I'm preaching. I shouldn't be struggling with impatience with my kids. Of course we're going to struggle. We're human. And the moment I put myself on a pedestal, I often think they say, don't put preachers or pastors on a pedestal. And I think most of the times we put ourselves on a pedestal. You know, and we do it in our own lives. I need to look like this, and I should be here because I've got 3 kids, and the one is almost 13, so surely I should know by now. But the best thing to do is to say, hey, I don't know. Can you guys pray with me? I don't know what to do. Go ask advice. So I want to encourage you, if you are struggling, if you've got a business and it's struggling, don't toughen it up and say, well, I'm going to make it work. God is saying that's why we're in a body. That's why He brings partners to come around us. We're not supposed to struggle this thing out on our own. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, in our seasons, and that's what I preached about last time, in our seasons, there are different strategies. And sometimes within the season, there can be a battle or various battles. Okay? When I think, especially if you go from one season to the next, sometimes there's a bit of a battle. And I believe why there's a bit of a battle for many of us in church is because I believe our church is going over from summer to harvest. Okay? We're going into harvest season with Nastasha not just coming. But I believe there's a transition coming in the next couple of months that God is saying you've been building and you've been maintaining and you've been nurturing. But God is saying there's a time of now, harvest is coming, fruit is coming. But for the enemy doesn't want us to go over to the next season. And I believe that's why there's a battle in the spirit. But that's okay, because when there's a battle, we go to the Holy Spirit and say, God, how do I partner with you? That's what we spoke about last time. What are the strategies for this season? And that is why for us as a church, we're not just going to push through and praise one Sunday. We're going to do it for a while. I know many of us are uncomfortable and you're like, I just want to worship. Worship is quiet. Worship doesn't require me to lift my hands and jump up and down. But in this season, that is when we praise, sacrificial praise, God fights the battles, and He will, in the Spirit, lead us into the new season. Does that make sense? Prayer of agreement. I'm hammering on this, but I feel there are many of us that are struggling, and we're not speaking. And the enemy tells us you need to cope, and I'm telling you, we are all struggling. The weights are struggling from time to time. We're going through a tough time. Yesterday, we had a difficult day. We all fought.
the whole afternoon, the whole night. Eventually at 9 o'clock, I was like, I cannot fight no more, no more. And Richard said, just stand, it's just a season, just stand strong. But you see, we all go through times. And maybe you are saying, now I'm in harvest, I'm lekker, I'm reaping. It's going well in my relationships, it's going well. Marriage, we don't speak. I've been married for 20 years, we've got to have it under control. I really want to encourage you, if we're going to struggle alone, the enemy is going to take us out, guys. That's why we're a family. That's why we need to come together, stand together. I'm not saying you must come and say it from the pulpit. I am encouraging you to share it with one, two, or three of your good friends. But also, sorry, I'm now going on to, feels like a bit of a mom talk. I'm not your mother. I've got my own three kids. Don't be careful with who you share it. Be wise. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Be careful. Take it to godly friends. Take it to your small group. Be wise, because fringe, we always speak about it with the kids. You wanna know what your kids are going to look like in a couple of years? Look at the friends that they're around. Look at the friends that they pick. Because whether you want to or not, your friends form you. So we're gonna pray for a couple of people, and that's going to require boldness for some of you to say, I need prayer. And then I'm not going to tell you which song. If you can, the worship team can maybe come up. We're going to praise, whichever praise song you want to do. But maybe we can close our eyes. Father, we thank you, God, that, Lord, you want us to flourish. You want us to flourish in every season. In every season, different story. You can look at me if you want. When I was in East London 2 weeks ago, I walked into Andre and Sonika's house, and here on the side, they've got clivias. Do you know what a clivia looks like? Ne? You get orange and yellow ones. But they bloom about September, October normally. And I walked in, and here's a clivia blooming. And I read up now this week, and I saw, okay, there's some of them can bloom outside of season. But that was a little bit strange to me. And I was like, and I asked Sonika, I said, do your clivias bloom now in East London? I thought it's maybe a climate thing with East London. And she looked at me, she said, I don't know anything about flowers. I just know they're there. So she wasn't much help, so I kind of left it. And then this week, Melisa sent us a photo on the office group. On behind the healing center, there's a bunch of clivias in pots. And one of them also had a flower on this week. And immediately when I saw it, I was like, oh, God is speaking. And I felt God saying through the clivias. Maybe it was just to me, but now that I think about it, I think it's for more of us, that God wants us to bloom in every season. He wants you, whether you are in spiritual winter, it doesn't matter. God wants you to flourish in the season that you are in. But that means we need to step into His grace. We need to align ourselves with what He's saying. This is your season. This is what you need to do now. Does that make sense? So I'm going to continue my prayer. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and reveal to us, that you would come and speak to us, that you would come and show. I pray that this morning, God, that as I was speaking, I feel for some of us, as I was speaking, lights went on, like light bulbs, and you're like, oh, wait, that makes sense. That's why this is going on. I'm not actually working with God, but I've been trying to force something that's not yet time for that thing. I feel that there's some maybe a couple of us here that's in the building season and you're struggling, and I see it's like a house that you're trying to build, and that can be anything. It can be a relationship, a business, whatever. I just see this house that you're trying to build. And I feel God is saying, you're trying to do it by yourself, but I want to send you specific strategic partners. And I feel God is saying, if you're going to align with me, I'm going to send you the right partners to do the electrician work, to do the roofing, all of that. But you need to realize that you cannot build this house alone. You cannot build it alone. What God has called you to do, you cannot do alone. If you can't do it alone, that vision is probably not from the Lord. Then it's way too small. And then I feel that there's some of us, is there anybody like that? While the eyes are closed, you can just slip up your hand so I can see. If you realize I'm trying to build this thing on my own, thanks for those hands, you can put it down. And then there's when I feel that there's some of us that God is saying, I want to
want to take you into a next season, but you're holding on. You're not letting go. Is there anybody like that that realizes this morning, there's stuff I need to let go of? Thanks for those hands. There are relationships, there are opportunities that seems really good, but it's not the season for them. If that is you, you can just slip up your hand as well. And then the last one I felt that there are some people, some of us, that are actually, you have started thinking that you're completely burnt out. You're exhausted. You're just running so hard, but you're completely tired, and you feel like you're falling asleep half the time in meetings, and you're not really present where you are because you've got so many things running through your mind. And I feel God is saying that if that is you, it's not, you're just in the wrong season. You just need to come in alignment. There's nothing wrong. You just need to come into my divine timing. Is there anybody like that that feels, I feel burnt out, I'm exhausted, I feel I'm running and I'm not just not catching up? Anybody like that? Thanks for those hands. And then the last one, I feel that there's some of you here that's sitting and thinking, I hear what you're saying, but I actually have no clue. I don't know what season I'm in. I just know I don't know. I feel like I'm floating through life, and I don't know what season I'm in or how God wants me to partner with Him. And I feel God is saying, that's why we come and we pray in agreement. That's why the spirit of prophecy is given, why the Holy Spirit came. Like He said in John 16, verse 13, that says that the Holy Spirit will show you and speak to you things to come. But sometimes we struggle to hear for ourselves, and we need to get and pray with other people. Is there anybody like that that says, I don't even have a clue what season I'm in. I don't know what's going on. Anybody confused? Okay, good. Right, I'm going to ask you all to stand. We're going to be very brave now. And if you stuck up your hand for anything, while the rest of us are going to stand, you can come to the front. We're going to pray with you and agree for whatever it is that you feel you need prayer for. So if that is you, you can come to the front.